This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Something very important for our spiritual element to ourselves, and it's something that will lead us, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, to ma'rifah, which is coming to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is being alone. Al-khalwat wal-uzla. As many shiukh say, the khalwa and uzla for us today is 30-40 minutes by yourself, doing munajah, doing dhikrillah, or even just not having a device. Like, we reach that level at this point. Just being in the fitrah, being in nature, etc. Let's see what he says here. The people of Safwa, clarity of heart, is that they have khalwa. They have a time where they get to clear their head and remind themselves of their relationship with Allah, that I'm a abd of Allah and I'm going to meet Allah, I'm going to die. All the affairs of the ummah, all the affairs of my family, I'm leaving it. One of the signs that a person is going to be drawn near to Allah Ta'ala is he finds himself suddenly in a lot of alone time. This happens to many people. Even the worst of people, how they just become good, forget ma'rifah, just from bad to good, they go to jail. Mike Tyson was one of those. And he did enter Islam in jail. I mean, just because you see in his real life, you don't see Islam, does not mean he's not a Muslim. I can get you many guys from our countries, they see no Islam in his life. So some people are connected to the good and to the truth by some hair, but you don't see any other Islam in them. But Mike Tyson's story is that he says that being in jail was the only thing that could have ever made him think about something else besides himself and his desires. And Malcolm X is the same story. I think he spent 7 years in jail. But in those 7 years, he was reformed in such a way, he could never have been reformed in that way outside of jail. And for us, we could do that too. If you spend 30 straight days and you take out a set time of the day and you sit alone with your mushaf, book of adhkar, just munajah between you and Allah about your goals in life, your desires, and make dua and spend it like that, you'll see a huge difference. It's 30 minutes a day. In the beginning, usually, as Imam al-Haddad said, when Allah wills good for somebody, he forces it upon them. A person, for example, may get a job far away, may go to jail, may get sick, may move just enough to be away from what he calls here abna'i jinsi, meaning his peers. Because we're always competing with our peers, whether we know it or not, like it or not, even if it's good and halal and like we're trying to measure up. Oh, you're studying this book, I'm going to study that. Oh, that guy opened a business, all right, I'm going to open a business too. We're always living like that, right? So in order to clear your head of all these things, sometimes it's not you who gets sick, it's a family member who gets sick that disallows you from leaving the house. Family member gets cancer, no one's leaving the house. There's no such thing as parties, wedding, you're not going to any of these things. Funeral, maybe. So that is a type of qabd of the whole family that will make start thinking of deeper things in life. A death in the family is kafa bil mauti maw'idha, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. It's enough of death as a lesson. If death isn't your maw'idha, nothing will help you. He says here, at the beginning, you need to leave your peers. This is also one of the wisdoms of ar-rihla fi talab al-ilm. To travel seeking knowledge is because when you leave everyone who knows you, they can't busy you. So when you travel, your aunt can't invite you, your grandma can't invite you, friends can't have a party. When you're living here, you have to do all that stuff. You have to be extremely social. And you get good deeds with that. It's not bad. You get good deeds doing those things. But when you travel, you can't do any of those things. And he says here, at the end of one's journey, now you have been worshiping Allah for 30 and 40 and 50 years, doing all sorts of good deeds here, there, and everywhere, all of all types, you visiting the sick, mujahada, everything. He says, now, at that level of being a senior, being an elder in the ummah and in ibadah, he says, after all that, now it is his time to sit alone with Allah. Because he's just so busy, right? In your middle of life, you're too busy. You have to live a social life to support your brothers and sisters. You cannot afford, probably, most of us, to just disappear. It wouldn't even be appropriate. Imagine a guy is a student of knowledge and he has a younger brother who doesn't pray. You have to do da'wah. You have to pull him in slowly. It may take a long time, but you got to pull him in. You have to. Now, once you have children, You can't go off leaving them and abandoning them. That is your first assignment. That's your assignment that Allah is going to ask you about. Allah is not going to ask you about anybody else. He's going to ask you about your kids. So now you have to be involved with them. Now, dawah cannot be, all right, let me sit down and let me just teach you. No, you have to have, there has to be a reason for them to love you. They have to love you first. Then you don't have to talk. Beyond basic lessons, you don't have to talk. They will follow in your footsteps if they love you. How do you get a kid to love you? There are different techniques. There are different ways. Meaning, you're going to be loved when you're on their wavelength first. You have to first be on their wavelength if you want to take them somewhere else. And that's suddenly, that's going to mean engaging in a whole bunch of youthful lahu. Children's play, then youth will still want to do things like go to soccer and stuff like that. You're going to do that stuff. You have no choice, right? You have to a kid has to have a normal, healthy childhood, and you got to be part of that. Kid has to have a normal, healthy childhood based on his customs around him. That's what you had, and you turned out okay. Because when you have a normal childhood, everything is basics of life are taken care of. That's when you can think of higher order thinking, like taqwa, like deen, like these other things. You want it. It's something you want to do. But it started off, no one jammed it down your throat, and also no one took away something from you that everyone else had to make you like desire that more than anything else. Because Imam al-Haddad warned against that. Imam al-Haddad warned a man who kept bringing his son to all the classes. And he said, doesn't the boy want to play with the other kids? He said, I want him to be a sheikh. I want to bring him to classes. Imam al-Haddad warned him. He said, if you do that, he's going to think about playing all the time. When he grows up, he'll play. Because he was robbed of it in his childhood. So fill him, his belly with that now. Fill him with that now until he gets bored of that. At the very least, it's a khalas. I did my thing. And so many of us youth, we reach a point like that. It's like sleepovers, playing all day, basketball, video games, going out to eat with the friends. Like, I did all that. I don't need to do it anymore. You reach that point. And that's the healthy way to do things. Raising a decent kid, it happens one dentist appointment at a time, one math homework at a time, one little play session with children at a time. And you just add those up over the course of 15 years. Then hopefully you end up with a child who doesn't want to disappoint you. Even better, you end up with a child who wants what you're doing. They see you serving your parents. What do you think they're going to do when they grow up? They see you serving your parents because here comes a bridge time where you're serving old parents and raising young kids. That's the best because they see that. Oh my gosh, it's serving them, then taking us to practice. They become very appreciative and they follow in the same footsteps. And that's why if you have a chance to do Birr al-Walidain, keep in mind that's your reward. That's not your job. That's not a sacrifice you're making. That literally is your reward. Imagine you gave some guy, here's $100,000 in coins. I need you to now count it out, take it to the bank, deposit it, take the money now, open a debit card, open a bank account, and shift it over into crypto or whatever investment or whatever is a powerful investment at the time. You got to do it all. Is that work? Now, the person who, oh my gosh, the guy gave me $100,000, but it's in coins and singles. I got to count it now. I'm like, are you thankless? Right? You're not right in the head. We'd all say that. You're $100,000. You should be counting them happily. And then going to the bank account with a smile on your face. Everything you do, you're the beneficiary. This is free money here that's coming to you. The same thing.